The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate you making us part of your day after Christmas morning. Happy holidays to all. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada, the Barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Still to come, Greg Jones, one of the four remaining Circus Survivor entrants. Intrinsic value of each worth over $2 million. $2.3 million, Kelly Bidlin.
Whew!
I dare ask Kelly, would he have chopped by now? But Kelly would have already stopped me in the middle of the sentence and be like, chop! We'll find out if Greg Jones wants to chop. Should be interesting. Coming up, we'll talk about our yes-no playoff thoughts moving on and our bets that we've already made in the NFL. Before we get to Pete Fuzak and college football, because we have three college football games, college football bowl games today, which we'll get Pete's thoughts on and beyond today. I bring this up, Kelly, because I heard JVT talking about this morning on my way in. Talking about the Pistons. Pistons have lost 26 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The record is 28 losses in a row. I don't even remember that happening, by the way. And it was the Sixers less than a decade ago. I have no recollection of it. Do you?
No.
None.
Like, every time you see these lists, like, they all make sense. But I'm like, I don't really remember it.
So, the Pistons are playing today. The only reason I bring this up, they're trying to snap a 26-game losing streak. They were 2-1 to start the year, by the way. 2-1. Now they're 2-27. And they're 6.5-point dogs at home to Brooklyn. And I heard JVT talking about, he was giving Doug Kazarian credit for this, how he's like, hey, even though the numbers say maybe you should bet the Pistons, do you really want to experience that? And what I immediately started smiling because Jason Weingarten and I talked about this on air about baseball for years, right? When I said the chasm between the haves and the have-nots keeps growing wider and wider. And Jason, who did baseball by a model, you know, when the Orioles were terrible and the Tigers were terrible, his model would spit out, oh, it's a bet on the Orioles at plus 275 or whatever, or the Tigers at plus 215. And we would always say, not only would we say you're not required to watch this baseball game, but we would always openly lament, like, but do you want to spend 3 hours of your life, three was being kind at the time, sweating out this bet? And it really is one of these things where life impinges on your robotic betting model, where you're like, okay, like, do I want to be enslaved to my model for my life and actually live through this? Would you consider any kinds of bets on the Pistons now at this point, just from that standpoint, that you just don't want the experience of it?
Yeah, I think right now is a good time to stay away. I mean, I've bet them a couple times, in the past couple weeks, like that Jazz game I was involved in, just like seemingly everybody else was on the Pistons side, and it's
when the Jazz had no players.
It happens in the NFL, happens in every sport, right? You are at the bottom of the absolute bottom of where the price is going to be on the Pistons going forward, right?
You don't get hero points for being the right when they finally snap it.
Right?
No extra dollars involved.
But this is, I think it goes back, but it also goes back to, it's hand in hand of like, okay, you might be getting a little bit of bonus on the spread that you're seeing in compared to numbers that we're all crunching. But you're really going to you're going to the window time and time again without backing a bad team, and they're a bad team.
Why do you want to spend 2 hours of your life doing that?
They're on my no bet list right now. I still believe in some of the pieces they've got.
Oh, I know
I just
you
don't
do.
Know what's going on there right now, so I can't go anywhere near them.
I wish we had that primetime action tape of you and Matt rhapsodizing for 2 minutes about the Pistons. Pete Fudak joins us now. Sorry we had to subject you to that, Pete. I apologize. He joins us from collegefootballnews.com. Pete Fudak, at Pete Fudak on Twitter, FIUTAK. How you doing, Pedro?
Isn't that the equivalent, the model you're talking about is, I lost 26 hands of blackjack in a row. There's no way I can lose a 27th in a row.
A little of that.
When it comes to like
going,
a little of that. But to your point, I laughed when you said the Sixers thing. I don't remember the Sixers thing ever.
But I don't either.
Whenever they put up one of those graphics about losing teams, it's like, oh, then they got Embiid. Or like, oh, then they got Tim Duncan. Or then they got LeBron. Like, there's always like, it's like really, really awful year. And then all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, boom, they got the guy, and then everything started to change.
Yeah, the process didn't really materialize, except they did get Joel Embiid out of it. So, yes, you know, weigh in as you on the process as you might with that, because maybe that justifies the whole thing, getting Embiid. All right, Pete, three college football bowl games today as we resume college bowl season. Get serious a couple days from now. We got the Quick Lane Bowl.
Yeah.
Bowling Green in Minnesota today. Minnesota's a three-point favorite. We got the First Responder Bowl in Dallas. Texas State and Rice, with Texas State a 3.5-point favorite. And then we have the bigger spread, which is out in Phoenix, involving UNLV, which is, of course, of interest to many here at the station, at the network, and, of course, here in town. Kansas, an 11-point favorite against UNLV. Any thoughts on any of the three today? Maybe you have thoughts on all of them.
Yeah. You asked me off the air, is this the like the least interesting bowl season ever? And it's, in a weird way, it's yes, because those, you had to really care to watch that Northwestern Utah game, you know, full of backups and stuff. And this is one of this is an Oasis game, because the Saturday games were and totally went against anything that happened in the regular season, which is why I completely got crushed on it. And then going forward, it's going to get worse before it gets better, because we're going to get Oregon State, Notre Dame in a few days against all second and third stringers. I mean, it's going to be good luck. Whoever figures that one out, God bless you, because I don't have it. Today is that day where, okay, fine. You know, you have three games where, you know, it's kind of interesting, but all the teams are going to kind of care. Because you have the Minnesota team, who's the outlier with the losing record, against the Bowling Green team. It's kind of fun. Beat them in Minnesota a couple years ago. You know, so you do have the slobs versus snobs thing with, you know, the Power 5 versus the MAC team, which could be kind of interesting. UNLV is obviously going to care and be in this. Kansas we kind of forget how bad Kansas was 2 years ago. They haven't won a bowl game in forever. And so you have three games today between teams that have a pretty good bulk of their players, except for Minnesota, which kind of is staggered because they're missing their quarterback. And good luck. Let's see how we can figure this one out. But for the most part, on a Tuesday after Christmas, it should be pretty intriguing.
Is there a bet amongst that trio for you, or are you staying away?
I would go over on Texas State Rice. It's going to be bad. There's going to be penalties. There's going to be like 12 turnovers, but both teams should pull out the offense. And if Texas State gets rolling, not every Texas State game was crazy, but there is a potential there with these two offenses to go like old school NBA West, you know, 125-120 game. I mean, this could be a shootout because the offenses are in place. They hit each other back and forth. I like Kansas over UNLV. Again, combination Power 5, UNLV kind of got exposed a little at the end there. They didn't really beat that many great teams during the season. Kansas has its parts in place. And again, Kansas is that kind of rare unicorn Power 5 team against a Group of 5 team that actually, as a program, it would be a massive deal for them to win this game. Lance Leipold is just good enough to keep them going. And they have enough of their guys back where I do think if Kansas does what it's supposed to do, it should hang 40 on the board at least and then go from there.
Did that Texas State Rice go from 59.5 to 60.5 just before my eyes right there? I think it did.
I influenced
yes,
it. Yes.
Yeah,
that, it should blow past that. It should be like a 38. It should be like 38-ish, 34-ish in there.
Quartet of games tomorrow, Va-Tech Tulane, Va-Tech favored by 10.5, Carolina, West Virginia, Mountaineers favored by 6.5, Louisville, touchdown favorites against the Caleb Williams-less USC Trojans, I should say, and then Oklahoma State, a 2.5-point dog against A&M. Any thoughts on that group of games tomorrow?
Yeah, okay, so now I'm going to go on completely different angles on this, where USC, I kind of have this thought that they still have talent. They have no defense, but it's still USC, and they still have guys. They might be without Caleb Williams, and they might be without a bunch of offensive guys. The weird part, as bad as the defense was, they get most of those guys back for them. They don't lose a ton on defense. They do have enough. I mean, their backup offensive guys are still very, very good. I kind of think USC might, especially after last year, especially considering Lincoln Riley just, we forget that Lincoln Riley's bowl games are mostly college football playoff games at Oklahoma. That's one of those games where I think everyone's like, oh, USC is going to get crushed. I kind of like USC in this. And I kind of like Oklahoma State because you want to talk about a team that's missing just about everybody. Texas A&M, let me put it this way. If Texas A&M pulls this off, it would really be a bad day for Mike Gundy because Texas A&M doesn't have a coach. They're just kind of – all the coaches are gone elsewhere. All the – they lost pretty much everybody off that great defensive front. They've got – you know, their quarterback started at the end, but he could be and should be contained. This is one of those games where if Oklahoma State brings it a little bit, they should be able to have it, and the spread's just not that bad.
All right, Pete, 30 seconds. Remind us, what is your favorite bet on a bowl game, any of them moving forward?
Texas. I mean, I just go right to it. The college football playoff. I have not bought into Washington all that much all year, and they continue to slap me in the face. I think this is one of those games where Texas pulls it off. It's Texas. They'll blow it at some point. It'll be in the national championship. But I just think that they're going to kind of bring that offense and be sharp right out of the gate against the Washington D. So college football playoff, Washington losing to Texas.
He likes Texas in the college football national invitational semifinals, Kelly, which does not include FSU, by the way, this just did. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.
Later, Gil.
Pete Futak, everybody. At Pete Futak on Twitter. CollegeFootballNews.com. Treasure of college football insights.
I hope I watch an Orange Bowl that's just fullback dive every play by Florida State protest.
See your buddy Rotomaker transfer report?
Yep. Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him. We'll come back. Yes, no playoffs and the whole playoff scenarios in the NFL. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
I've literally been splitting way too many bets.
What just happened? Want to know where the money and bets are moving every NFL or bowl game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds. Every 5 minutes, you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. We're always improving our betting splits and recently added soccer betting splits from around the world. How about that? Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com/splits. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Park Canada here at the D. Still to come, Greg Jones, one of the remaining four Circus Survivor entrants. Going to talk to him next segment. First of all, though, we get tweets. I haven't read tweets today except for once. Nevada Azer, do you know how the award ballots are administered? Is it a mass email with a deadline, or do they send them one category at a time until the vote is complete, wondering how much collaboration happens, or if it's closed off, singular process per voter? Nevada Azer, I do not know.
Great questions.
I do not know.
Yeah, I don't really
I'd
know.
Have to ask Shotzi about that.
I wouldn't know.
I'll get back to you.
I would guess they highly encourage no collab, like no conversation.
That part for sure.
Yeah.
And I would hope that if you're a voter, you would not want to collaborate. I would hope that you would take this seriously enough.
So that right there, what you just said, is kind of what I was thinking with the odds too. When we got the question about the odds, it's fine if you want to have a conversation or look at the odds, but I hope that if you're voting on this, you've already got your 1 through 5.
Well, right, and like again, now again, I keep bringing it up because this is our only contact with an actual voter, but. When Schatz was talking about Dan Campbell, he had no idea that Dan Campbell was the short shot for the Coach of the Year award, currently is. His reasoning was, this is Aaron Schatz's reasoning, he said he's the best combination of old school with modern day analytics. And that's his criteria. And every one of those voters is going to have their own. This is from Mark Meltzer, like Seltzer. Every time there's like an old school 90s R&B act in town, he always goes, head to Virgin if you're looking for Gil. Drew Hill and Genuine apparently had Virgin.
Genuine, all right.
Genuine's big song, Kelly?
Oh, I don't know. He's got a coat.
Pony!
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Motor City Mike. Any thoughts on TJ Watt for Defense Player of the Year? He's ahead of Miles and Micah by 4 sacks each. He also has more interceptions, solo tackles, total tackles, fumble recoveries, and touchdowns, tied with Miles for forced fumbles, while Micah has 1. Motor City Mike, what you're saying makes perfect sense. I just don't get the sense that this is the TJ Watt year for whatever reason. And maybe it just has to do with the fact that Dallas and Cleveland are better than Pittsburgh. It could be that simple.
And unfortunately, I think it is that simple.
And you could, and everything you're saying is right, but I think it might just be that simple. Tom Steffen. I still see San Francisco and Baltimore as the clear top two. Then a big drop and very little difference between, say, teams 3 through 12. Still seems to be value betting San Francisco and Baltimore in various exact Super Bowl results. I'm with you, Tom Steffen. I am with you. Chris Hartman, Gil, should the NFL adopt the MLB award system, MVP and players of the year, for each conference, or do you prefer just one overall? I prefer one overall because there's more interaction in the NFL than there is in Major League Baseball between conferences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
D-Rell, when it comes to the Chiefs' horrible offensive play this season, I don't think the media is giving enough attention to Nagy replacing Bieniemy.
Sure.
It's interesting, although for those of us who are D.C. Sports fans, I'm not sure the Bieniemy year has been that great.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think there would be a lot more attention on that fact if the Washington Commanders' offense was a top five offense.
We were throwing these texts around yesterday. You know, Skins are going to have a new coach. Ron Rivera is going to be fired the moment the season ends, and it's a new ownership group, and they're probably going to want their people. But just think how like Eric Bieniemy has gone from how can this guy not possibly get coaching jobs from interviews to. I mean, Josh Harris will probably interview him, but like, I don't feel like he's a legit candidate. I don't. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
but I don't feel like he is.
I mean, this is gonna sound bad. You're probably right. I also don't know though that like for what were the questions always about Eric Bieniemy's resume? It was that he doesn't call plays. Right,
so that it was a collab with Andy Reid,
right?
Or
with
whatever.
Andy Reid. Yeah. So at least he's got a year under his belt of doing that.
That was the point of him leaving,
right? And I think that if I'm him, I'm looking at it of okay, I'm out of my own now. I can build my resume starting now. Year one didn't go great, but I'm. It's not like he's going to not be offensive coordinator in this league.
No, for sure.
Right. I think he's okay sticking there for a few more years.
How does the incomparable Terry McLaurin disappear? That's as far as I need to go.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he doesn't have any offensive linemen, Sam Howell. So it's like, yeah, I'd love to see Bieniemy with the actual line.
Right, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of that. I'm sure Bieniemy would love a job. I'm not counting him out for the future. But yes, I don't really think he's realistic for this year.
Okay, so, which brings us to yes-no's playoffs and scenarios. Let's start with the AFC. Kelly, we don't have any division clinched yet in the AFC. We only have two playoff berths with 2 weeks left. Two playoff berths clinched. The Baltimore Ravens and the Miami Dolphins have playoff berths clinched. Division by division. Well, let's start with the number one seed. Baltimore is in the driver's seat for the number one seed, but if Miami ends up beating them this week, Miami will be the team that is in the driver's seat for the number one seed. Miami will be that team based on the fact that they will have the better conference record than the Ravens will. And not even that, they'll have the head-to-head at that point. That will be the driving force. They'll have the head-to-head if they win that game this week. So it won't even come to conference record.
Should be noted, too, because me and you talked about it just, two breaks ago or whatever, off-air. The numbers reopening this morning on that game, Dolphins-Ravens. It was 3 before yesterday. We're seeing a lot of 3.5s, 4s. You and I were able to jump on a 3 before big move. But, yeah, that's where we're seeing. Ravens basically favored 4 this week.
So Dolphins still can get the number one seed with a victory over the Ravens and then a win out. But obviously with the Dolphins, that's going to be easier said than done. The Ravens need to win just that game this week, and then they will not have to play anybody if they don't want to in the final week of the season because they will have clinched the number one seed at that point. So keep that in mind as well if you're thinking ahead to week 18, which is always what Kelly, the squirreliest week of them all.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the divisions are concerned, the Browns could still technically catch the Ravens if they won their last two and the Ravens lost their last two. But obviously the Ravens are the driver's seat. Same thing in the AFC East. If the Dolphins lost their last two and the Bills won their last two, the Bills could win the AFC East. Remember, the two teams meet in Week 18. AFC South, we talked about a little earlier, they're all tied up at 8-7. Jaguars, Colts, Texans. Jaguars win all tiebreakers. And as far as the division, the AFC West, the Chiefs, two games ahead of both the Raiders and the Broncos, the Raiders would win the AFC West, which Jim Nance wanted to talk about 500 times yesterday during the broadcast, the Raiders would win the division if they won their last two, and the Chiefs lost their last two. By the way, the same would apply to the Broncos, I believe. Yes, the Broncos win their last two, and the Chiefs lost their last two. I believe that would apply, unless there's a head-to-head I'm unaware of there.
My mind would explode if the Raiders won the AFC West.
That
is just something that I would have never have seen coming. Cause still here with 2 weeks ago, cannot believe it's even a possibility.
Yeah.
Yet it is.
Yet it is. So that's what you need to know in terms of the AFC playoff picture. By the way, the Chiefs and Broncos did split. So yes, the Broncos would win based on a division record. Okay, so NFC. Eagles in the driver's seat in the NFC East. Niners are in the driver's seat for the number one overall seed. They've already clinched the West. Lions have already clinched the North. And in the South, right now, the Bucs have a one-game lead over the Falcons. If you look at the 7 and 8 teams, let's say, that exist in the NFC, well, for the 8 and 7 teams right now in the 6 and 7, Rams have the tiebreaker over the Seahawks because they swept them. But in terms of the 7-8 teams that are on the outside looking in, Minnesota has the tiebreaker over Atlanta and Green Bay. Atlanta has the tiebreaker over Green Bay and New Orleans. Green Bay has the tiebreaker over New Orleans. So anyway, there's all that. Is there a yes-no bet that you love? Can I just bring up one?
Yeah, yeah.
The Steelers, yes. I have not made this, so I just want to bring it up as a thought exercise. I have not made this bet. I don't know that I will. But the Steelers to make the playoffs, and they are on the outside looking in, are plus 475 in the AFC. And I just want to bring up the point that they're at Seattle this week. They're a dog at Seattle. But if you can bring yourself, if your handicap, if you believe the Steelers win that game, you believe they win that game, the scenario I just described about the Ravens not having to play anybody week 18 would come into effect because the Steelers play the Ravens in week 18. So You'd have to have the handicap that the Steelers could win at Seattle this week. But if you can get there, they might have a free bingo space in week 18. So I'm just saying, I haven't bet it, but the plus 475 on the Steelers to make it, and they would still need help, by the way. But that's an interesting number based on that Ravens scenario. Let me just throw that out there. You follow?
Yeah, I follow. I think I would need longer odds than that.
I'm not a Steelers guy. I don't think it's going to happen, yeah. But I'm just saying there's something in that little calculus that is different from everybody else.
Even if I was a Steelers guy, though, I think I'd need a longer number.
I'd like it a little longer. Well, I'm just telling you what's available. Let's talk Survivor. Greg Jones on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Circa Survivor marches on. 4 entries left. In what started out at with $9,267, all at $1,000 a pop, it's a $9.267 million event contest, if you will, down to 4, which means that the intrinsic value of each, if you chopped them up 4 ways, is $2,316,750. And we are lucky enough to have one of those gentlemen return to the show, one of the 4 remaining entrants. He goes by L.A. Joneser. In terms of his handle, his name is Greg Jones. He joins us from LA right now. Greg, how you doing, man?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going very well. I guess the question for you is, how's it going for you? You good? You happy? You excited?
It really hasn't changed at all because like nothing's set. So it's still, you know, the potential to walk away with zero is just, it's like the same as week one. It's just, you know.
All right.
On the line now, I guess.
Well, let's get to that here momentarily. Let me start with this past week because I want to give you some credit here for something that you did. There was 10 entries left, and you probably, I think, correctly assumed, as most people did, that most people would take the Denver Broncos, Denver who ends up losing to New England ultimately in Sunday Night Football. You went with the Chicago Bears. Not only did you go with the Bears, who got the job done in their game, but you announced the pick on Twitter. I would imagine that there was some design to that, yes?
Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, I wanted to be the only person on Chicago. I kind of have Sean to thank for that because you know, he was clearly saying no chop, and I knew he was going to either be on Green Bay or Denver. So I definitely didn't want to be on one of those teams because there was all, you know, there's even extra value being away from whatever he would pick he was going
to
be on.
Yeah, you're referring to Sean Perry, the poker player who said famously he wouldn't chop. He has now gone out of the contest. He did have Denver. But I do think that that's a just sort of crystallizing what we were just talking about. You bring up the fact that, you know, it's one thing to play Chicago as a game theory kind of thing, knowing that most are going to get on Denver and trying to be the one. But by announcing it, what you were trying to do was dissuade anybody else who had that same idea of wanting to be on the Chicago Island. And you ended up, it was you and somebody else in the end. Maybe they're not on Twitter. Maybe they didn't see your tweet, whatever it was. But it ended up you and somebody else on Chicago. But that was what you were getting at, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And so I think it's brilliant, by the way. I think it's an interesting way of playing that. So I wanted to give you props on that. So let's get back to what you said moments ago. So when there were 13 left, you were pro-chop, if I'm not mistaken.
It wasn't necessarily pro-chop. I wasn't going to be the only person who shut it down. And I think like four or five people felt the same way. They're like, all right, well, if everybody else does it, then let me know and we'll do it. It never was like, okay, we have everybody. Sean said no. And then once the stuff with him and the internet stuff came out about the, you know, the fantasy football stuff, then everybody was firmly like, we don't even want to talk about this as long as he's still in play. So the idea that he controlled it the whole time and shut it down and was the only that's not true.
Okay. Now that there are four remaining, and again, $2.3+ million, if you chopped them up four ways in terms of what the theoretical value is anyway, obviously different entries have different components remaining. Are you pro chop or not?
I'm not pro ending it. I don't think any under any circumstances I would say, okay, let's just all chop it up now and be done with it. I would be open to some kind of save situation if the other three guys want to do it again. I just want to be a man of my word and not shut down anything that anybody else wants to do. So I'd be open to talking about that.
A save situation? Clarify that for us. What do you mean a save situation?
Everyone takes $1 million and we play for the rest, or everybody takes $1.5 million and we play for the rest somewhere that's equitable, you know, because some entries have a little bit better chance than other entries based on the teams they have. If we could figure some sort of formula out, like maybe use the unabated formula or something like that, I'd be open to a save situation, but I definitely want to play it out.
Okay. You do want, okay. So you would be open to that, which is what the final three did last year, which is I think they guaranteed themselves roughly $1 million each or something like that. And they played for the rest of it in the final 2 weeks. So you would be open to that. Am I hearing then that you believe that your entry does have a advantage of some sort over the other three?
Not just going off the unabated, you know, they put the EV for each entry. And I think I was second, a little bit above what, you know, and also you got to factor in, I live in California and we get slaughtered in taxes. So that's, you know, that's something you have to consider too.
The taxes are definitely interesting in this mix. So let me ask you this. So if the other three guys came to you, maybe it's girls, but the other three entrants came to you and said, all right, we appreciate that you want to do that, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to live through this anymore. We just want to chop. Would you be open to an equal chop?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd have to talk to my wife, obviously, because she runs the show. But I think everybody still wants to play a little bit, which is good. You know, there's something about winning the $9 million and then having Derek have to put me on the gambling Hall of Fame wall if we got in the Guinness Book of World Records or something like that. But,
I understand that. It's interesting to me because, okay, so if you said you probably wouldn't want an equal chop. I just want to play this out a little bit though. Because one of the things that Sean Perry, the poker player who, you know, he was quoted as saying that, When it was 10 and it was roughly $1 million each, I can't remember if it was 13 or 10, I think it was 10, and it would have roughly been $1 million each. He was like, I'll take $2 million and everybody else can chop up the rest. I'd be open to that. And I don't have to be a walking unabated, right, or an embodiment of a model to know that no entry, no remaining entry is worth that much more than the others. That would be more than two times at that point. Would there be a number? Like, what do you, like, and I know you don't want to do this, but to me, is there a number you would take that is incrementally above the 2.3 that you would be willing to chop right now?
If the guys wanted to do something like that where it's close to that, I think they all prefer to play a little. I think a little over the 1.5 and play for whatever, three is, you know, is something I'd be into if they wanted to play for, you know, if they wanted just to end it, and I guess, and figure that out too. I listen to everything. I'm not going to be the guy to kill everything, but I definitely want to keep playing.
Yeah. Cause one of the things that struck me about Sean, and for all the brash tone and all that, was if he had said, instead of 2 million, if he had said, when it was all worth a million, if he had said, oh, you know, give me 1.4 and 1.3 and the rest of you can chop up the rest, I think everybody else would have thought of him differently. And I think he would have come out sounding like a pretty good negotiator, right? And it would have been like, oh, that was pretty smart of him, and then he's not such a bad guy. But it was the notion that he thought his was so much more, you know, valuable than everybody else's. But it's interesting that, okay, so you're open to all outcomes.
Yeah, I don't feel that way, and I'm not asking for anything even close to remotely more than anybody else.
But you prefer to come to an agreement and play for the rest, like they did last year. Okay, you mentioned taxes. Now, Greg, you tell me if I'm overstepping. You're way closer to the finish than I was even from the start, right? So, I mean, I can't give you advice on Survivor. But in terms of the money itself, and you mentioned taxes, has part of this calculus, this is just sort of my spider senses tingling on this, and you tell me if I'm off base, is part of this calculus for you that you have hedged in a manner thus far that when you let's just take 2.3, the four-way chop, and the even four-way chop, let's take 2.3 as a start, that whatever you've hedged so far plus the taxes, that doesn't become nearly as fun of an outcome for you now as if you could get the majority of that 9.2 and then you could sort of feel good about your hedges and the taxes. Is it that simple?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I have 30% out, about 30% out, and then taxes is going to be another almost 40%. So, you know, I mean, I hope my wife's not listening, but if you're talking about breaking down $1 million and it ends up like 350,000, that's, you know what I mean? I'd like to, you know, make it end up something a little bit more than that.
Boy, this sounds more stressful than the contest itself.
You have no idea.
Oh, dude, no, I do. I think I do. If I'm putting the numbers in my head together, I do. And so that begs the question at the end, and we only have 45 seconds left. After all of this, no matter the outcome now, win, lose, how much you win, do you think you'd want to play this again now that you've sort of...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I hope I'm coming back to defend. That's...
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Because I wonder, just living through you and living with the stress of it, I think if I did it once, I'd almost be like, I don't want to do this again.
No.
Okay. Listen, Greg, appreciate it so much. We wish you luck. We're going to wish Circus Master Indiana Jet and Jax Jags luck as well. But you've been kind enough to come on the show. And Mazel Tov, man. May it all work out to your satisfaction.
All right, guys. Hopefully we're talking again one more time.
I hope so. Greg Jones, everybody, one of the four remaining Circa Survivor entrants, playing for a $9.267 million pot. Kelly and I coming back. More NFL on the other side next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Phil Weiss is going to fade Pete Futek. He's going to put he's on Washington, not Texas, in the National Invitational semifinals. Scott, New York Mets 16. Gil, wasn't there an ESPN voter who called / texted another voter about what they were leaning to vote? I do not remember the sport. I don't remember that, but maybe so. And Scott goes on to ask, didn't L.A. Joneser, Greg Jones from our last segment, sell off part of his entry for collateral for hedging purposes? This would make his CHOP decision a little more difficult. First of all, thank you to Greg Jones for coming on the show again. Greg, famously, the gentleman who made the mistake on Thanksgiving, thought he was picking Detroit, only to find out from his proxy a few days later, hey, what are you picking next? He's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, Green Bay. So he is here. His mom had passed away. Who knows, again, if you're spiritual, if she's pulling the strings from another world.
Just a wild story. That was the misclick was when he was in town, right?
Correct.
And he was doing it himself for the only week he was doing
that
it
is,
himself.
That is my understanding.
It is wild. That is wild.
And so now we're down to four. And he says that he is open to a CHOP and then playing for the rest, like they did last year, and that sounds reasonable. But, you know, it's amazing. You got to live through this every week. So once you now secure money, that would be, he'd be open to it. He doesn't want to be the guy who says no to that. But I think the more interesting part, for those of us who dream of being in his situation one day, is that once you get to this point, the financial aspect of this could be more stressful than the actual game you choose choose. And if you don't manage it, if it gets away from you, if you hedge too early, if you, and yes, what New York Mets just said is correct. He did sell off the perfect hedge, as Joe Pita said. The perfect hedge is when you sell off portion of your entry, and then you use those to hedge. But even in doing so, right, while you're losing equity in your entry from selling off parts of it, you're using that to hedge. And if you lose enough of your hedges for too much money, and then you have taxes, and I'm not saying this is Greg's situation, I'm just, in my head, my spider senses are tingling.
The taxes are right? Brutal.
So if you, and again, I'll just say it again, if 2.3, let's just break them out evenly, if 2.3 million is what the intrinsic value is right now, if they were all equal, let's say you hedge it. I have no idea what he's hedged, but let's say it's a few $100,000, right? And then you've got California taxes. You've come to the final four of this $9.267 million contest, and you will end up with less than $1 million. Does your brain do funny things and toggle into an area where you're like, well, that's just not enough? And maybe, by the way, maybe it's because the hedging thing got away from you, or maybe you just didn't anticipate this, and then your brain gets to, well, now I've got to win most of the 9.267 to make this really feel like it was a win. I don't know. It's just fascinating to live through these guys.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. I mean, it's fascinating to live through them because we're not in that situation. I would hope
we
to be
not.
One day. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's – but it's part of the reason, too, of – it's part of the reason why we had Joe Pita on, right? We talked to him. It is interesting to know how – it's easy to say, oh, hey, I would hedge here, or I would chop at this point or whatever, right? But it's really – so when did we have Joe on for the first time talking about the hedging strategy? 2 weeks ago?
I've had him on for years talking
about it. No, I know, but like this year, right? Yeah. That was kind of like two weeks ago we started that?
Yeah.
So you're planning out, 5 weeks worth of the contest, right? And it really is long-term planning of exactly what you would need to do week to week.
I really,
and that's just to handle your own.
I really meant what I asked at the end. Like, would you do this again? Like, I'm serious. Like, for some people, it might be too stressful. And we don't know. Like, one of these guys who's remaining might just be like, I just want this to end.
Right, yeah. I mean, I was dying on the inside when he was just bringing up the tax dollar amount. So, yeah, my instant reaction would be, yeah, I'm playing again. I'll be playing again either living in Nevada, Florida, Montana, you know,
You know who doesn't have to worry about these financial matters? This guy right here. Christmas Miracle Parlay.
This is incredible.
Some dude put $5 down on this 14-leg parlay of touchdowns. payout from that $5, $489,383. He needed all of these guys to get a touchdown this week in the NFL, and he had the biggest favorite as the last one, Christian McCaffrey. How many times have you had a parlay, Kelly, in your life where all you needed was the biggest favorite on the, of them to get home, and yeah, it doesn't get
that's
home?
That's right.
McCaffrey gets home, and he wins nearly a half a million.
You know what? I would love to actually know that number. Of like, I would love to know the number in my lifetime of where that has happened.
You know what?
I wonder if he was racing to find a... you know, like, circa, we get some nice yes-no options on things sometimes. Yeah. Like, I don't know how many books out East are doing yes-no options. You'd be you would be racing to find that.
And
though,
a dude like this,
yesterday.
Do you think a dude who's making a $5 bet on this thinks about stuff like that? I don't know.
Probably not. Good point. Probably not.
My reaction to this is, if I win this, like, and he had to have a moment afterwards. He was like, why didn't I bet 10? Why did I only bet 5?
Sure, but we all think that no matter what the bet, right?
10. That's... $5 more. And I mean dollars literally.
But this goes back to the Darren Rovell thing, right?
Yeah.
Like this, like you said, he's a $5 bet. He doesn't care if he wins or loses.
Darren Rovell taking all that incoming at Bet Bash, and I'm like, no, he's right.
Yeah,
these guys don't care about what we have to say.
He wasn't gonna care if he lost the $5, but he might have cared if he lost the 10. That's the problem, Kill. I don't really know.
God bless, I lost 10 bucks on this. Yeah, you're right, maybe.
It is. It's
what was
just
the longest shot on there? The plus 235 on Chris Rodriguez Jr. of the Skids, baby.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Did you have anything else to say about the yes-no playoffs? Because I just mentioned that thing about the Steelers. By the way, I just want to say this. I did not bet that Steelers thing plus 475. Kelly's right. The number is not nearly the bang for your buck that you want. I just brought it up because of the quirk that the Ravens might not have anything to play for in Week 18. Was there another yes-no that you liked in that?
You know, I think right now, I don't know that I'd be venturing to make any bets there. I mean, especially the one
there's
that's tricky.
So many teams alive still.
There really is. And the one that's tricky with the AFC, at least, right? Like, I think I've said this the past couple times we've talked about it. I'd still be leaning no on the Colts. But we don't have a Texans price up currently because of Stroud. And I think Drew talked about that when he was on of kind of liking, you know, kind of assuming that Stroud's going to be back this week, which I think is a fair assumption.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Indianapolis has two home games to close it out. Home Raiders, home Texans.
Yeah. But, you know, if Stroud's back at that by that point, you know, you're talking about that. I would like to see a price on them first. That AFC is so jumbled. Like, you can't. There's not much there. We talked about the Bills a couple weeks ago, liking that one. And the NFC, I think the NFC is probably set. I don't know that that's changing.
Yeah, except for it could wildly in like the NFC South, right? I don't know. It's just
yeah, except for that division. Yeah.
And then even a team like the Rams, which looks like they're sitting pretty right now, all they have to do is lay one egg, and then that changes dramatically. So it's 2 weeks out, we're still so unclear on a lot.
Yeah, I'm kind of confident in the Rams.
I am too.
They're a team I don't like you want to face right now. That offense is
easiest remaining schedule of all the playoff teams. Jacksonville, as we talked about earlier, home Carolina at Tennessee. They win all tiebreakers in the AFC South. The most difficult schedule of the playoff teams that are vying is Pittsburgh, but I mentioned that Baltimore might not have anything to play for, so that goes by the wayside. Cincinnati is the other team that's really behind the eight ball. They got to play the Browns and the Chiefs the rest of the way home. So, yeah, I'm not racing to bet that market. I will tell you what I have already bet for Week 17. If you missed Guessing Lines yesterday, and by the way, Christmas morning, you didn't have anything better to do than tune in and listen to Guessing Lines. We were at Circa, for God's sakes. Playing. Here's what I bet so far.
I feel like we got a lot more interaction yesterday on the show, by the way, than we have today.
Oh, people are done. I already have the Seahawks -3 hosting the Steelers, so that's why I didn't race to bet the Steelers, because I can't get there with the Steelers this week. I bought that down from 3.5, by the way, to bet the Seahawks at -3. I thought the most glaring line yesterday was Buccaneers were -3 hosting the Saints. I took the Bucs. I took the Cardinals plus the 11 against the Eagles. I think that's way too many points. And I did take the Ravens this morning. hosting the Dolphins. I did not get three, by the way. I got four.
I
took the four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on Ravens three, but that we talked about, that's moved. I did take some of the Panthers plus seven. I hope the Jags win. I hope I lose that bet. But like having the seven, there's a middle opportunity there for me, too. Seahawks three, we talked about that. And then I did lay 6.5 with the Browns.
All right. Thank you to all our guests, Greg Jones included. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.